soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Couple of things here real quick. Dynamo versus the Bolt tomorrow, 1 p.m. at BBVA Stadium. That's open to the public. Dynamo Austin FC this Saturday, April 9th. The Dash start the NWSL against Chicago. A quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, they're great friends down there. Justin, Steven, get down there. I love the drive of a BMW. I drive a 5 Series. I love it. It's the ultimate driving machine. The other thing I love, customer service down there. You know, I'm not the guy like Eddie Robinson, who's my next guest, who can get under the hood of a car and do all that kind of stuff. I just want it to run. Advantage BMW, they'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get yourself in a 3, a 5, a 7 Series. Advantage BMW Midtown. That is the place to go. Advantage BMW Midtown. As we welcome you back. And that man, he will be joining me on Quest Texas Channel 55, where we cover the Dynamo games, along with Cindy Bourbano. He is former Houston Dynamo and Major League Soccer All-Star Eddie Robinson. He joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, so before we get into TV talk, I got to get you right into the Tab Ramos interview. I know you listened to it. What are your big takeaways from it?
Well, I'm sure you recall, and the listeners will recall, our conversation last week with Alex Parra, where I spoke about the importance of the number 6. Tab Ramos just earlier talked about the importance of getting forward, of pressing, but they need to protect themselves against the counterattack. They need to protect themselves defensively, and that's where the number 6 comes in. And we talked last week, and I said that I thought that that should be Matias Vera, but he obviously, and you obviously brought up Derek Jones. So it's going to be interesting to see who they choose, because the Dynamo outside fullbacks, I'm assuming, again, it's going to be Lundqvist and the same players they had last year that are going to bomb forward. They're going to have somebody that sits in front of the center backs. And I'm really excited about Tim Parker. And I think a lot of it is a bit selfish, because I think he's a lot like me and he's super aggressive, but I think he's probably a little more disciplined than me. He's not going to get many red and yellow cards as I did, but he's going to direct, and he's going to keep people in front of him. So that's the first thing that stuck out for me from Tab Ramos. And then, you know, he talked about chemistry, and I think that's such a huge thing, because I was a part of 4 MLS Cup winning teams, and it wouldn't happen without chemistry. So being a fan of the Dynamo, which I can be now, you know, I set it aside when I do the TV broadcast with you. That's part of being a professional in that situation. But I'm always going to be orange. I'm always going to be a Dynamo fan that will be.
Did we lose Eddie? I think we lost Eddie Robinson. I was talking there about the, you know, what we've seen in preseason is, and hopefully
with the green salt.
Ah, there he is. We lost you, Eddie. So to backtrack about 3 sentences and tell us what you just said. That this is like the lost tapes now. Nobody will ever know what you just said.
Oh, sorry. No, so yeah. I'm going to be a Dynamo fan for the rest of my life. It's ingrained in my soul. So being frustrated over the way the last 5, 6, 7 seasons have gone and where the Dynamo have finished, we can hear the talk about we've brought in this player, we've brought in that player, we feel good about where we're at, we feel good about the process. That's fantastic to hear. But until we see it in action, it's tough to believe it. So as a broadcaster, you and I, we're not going to be fans on the broadcast. That's unprofessional. We are going to do our jobs. But when I step outside of that, I'm a fan. And I want to see this team win. I want to see this team make the playoffs. And I know that chemistry is a big part of it. And I hope that Tab and his staff can create that.
Yeah. And it does sound very positive, but you're right. And listen, Tab Ramos, he's on a 2-year cycle here because he just came in. You know, it's not easy coming into this situation. So we're expecting a lot of the players, the Tyler Pashers. We want to see some of these players step up. You know, it's time for Fuenmayor to make something happen. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I'm sorry this was a short segment. It's kind of my fault. But we will get you on definitely next week if you are available. We will get a third partner in again, and we'll do some deep diving on the Dynamo as we're getting closer to the season. We'll talk some Dash as well. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, as always. And I noticed you had some good pizza today, by the way.
I did. Thank you for having me, Glenn. I really can't wait for the first game of Major League Soccer season.
Yeah, Eddie and I, by the way, we will be on the Internet call. That'll be kind of our preseason call together on the 10th against FC Dallas. And then we will have Eddie, myself, Quest 55, our entire crew, Cindy Bourbano. We will have the call of the curtain raiser of Major League Soccer. And that'll be on both here locally and then on ESPN Plus as well. Okay, we're taking a break here. It's John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm break. It's also a Hugh O'Connor's break out on I-10 there near the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there, say hello to my friends Peter and Dave. Coming up next, a really good interview with Jim Kilmeade. He was the general manager of the Long Island Rough Riders back in the day, but Jim, so much experience, has committed so much to the game. He's going to talk Long Island soccer next.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
I'm Jordi Tungé in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And as always, a big thank you to John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They are going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. And by the way, they are the presenting sponsor of this show. It's DaspitLaw.com. And thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We get Adam Lundquist, the Houston Dynamo left back. He joins us now. Adam, how are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm doing all right.
I know the days are busy for you, and it's not just the training, but it's a lot of the off-field things that are going on. So just so far, so good in preseason, and maybe some thoughts on that.
Yeah, like you say, it's the days are long and the trainings are tough, but, you know, we're just grinding. You got to keep your head down and keep going. And no, but everything is going well so far. Very excited for the upcoming season. All the players that's been coming in has done a really good job. And it feels like we're getting better every day, and I'm very excited for this season.
If I ask this on behalf of the Dynamo fans, and this is the simple question, how will it be different this year? How would you answer that?
I think just the morale of the team, and also the new guys coming in, bringing new energy, positive mindset. All the players that come here has chose to come here for a reason. They want to develop. They want to bring this team back to where it belongs. And also you see of the guys that decided to stay, me included, we're all in this because we want to change it. We just want to keep going in the same direction as we did last year. So I think just the mentality has shifted. And also you see with the club, what it's doing with updating the facilities, all that stuff. It's just everything is going in the right direction, and they're doing the right way and starting on the right thing. So I feel very positive going in, and I think that's the main difference for this season.
Houston Dynamo left back Adam Lundquist joining us. We appreciate Adam coming on. Let's talk about two of those players and two that really jump out right away at either end of the field. And one is Tim Parker, who you play close to at the back. And then, of course, Maxi Arruti, who you also play close to when you get into the attack. How about just talking about those two guys, because they certainly have an air of professionalism around them.
Yeah, exactly. Like you say, and also a lot of experience. They've been in the league for a very long time and also had success in this league. So that's a very good thing. And they're bringing this to this team and to this city. So I feel very happy to play with them and then have them on our team. And like you say, they really come in and chase the mentality and set the bar very high going forward. And I think that's exactly what we needed, a little breath of fresh air and just, you know, change the mentality and everything. So yeah, I think everything is looking very good. And like I say, also they're very talented football players, both of them. So it's exciting and I'm happy to play with them and I'm happy not to have to play against them.
So let's talk a little bit about the system and the tactics. And, you know, I credit Todd Ramos because he never got away from really the basis of the way he wanted to play last year, even though he might not have had the full roster that supported that. It seems like it's moved more towards that direction now. How do you think the implementation of the pressing game and the system and all the wants and desires that Tab has are coming through? I would just say that I've watched a couple of preseason games. It looks like the ball is being circulated a lot quicker and a lot faster. And I know that's one thing he always wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I think also, like you say, last year was not really an ideal situation for a new coach to come in and because of all that happened and with the pandemic. But I feel like now with more team, with the consistency of being together for a longer period and not have these long breaks, we're going to really have the opportunity to work. And I feel like just the pressing game we're taking a huge step and also in our communication of the field. We want to be a high pressing team, a high intensity team that's going to grind teams down. And they also, like you say, moving the ball quick is a part of that. We have to be able to keep the ball sometimes because the pressing style we want to play is very physically demanding. So doing this, we need to be able to control the ball some periods of the game. And I think we have to get better at that. We're still doing better, but we have to get even better in order to be successful. But I feel like the pressing game and the mentality of everyone in the team has improved a lot during this short preseason, the short amount of time we have so far. But I mean, like you say, it just feels like another team. We're more hungry. We run more. We work harder for each other. And that's what I think is the main reason and the ground rules you have to do to win a football game.
What about the competition? It seems like there's more competition at every position, and it doesn't sound as though anybody is safe. I mean, you've got to earn it here in preseason in front of this coaching staff.
Yeah, for sure. Like you say, the new players we brought in, it certainly has added more depth. Like we added some players that are new and very talented, and also we kept a lot of players from last year. And I feel like the quality, overall quality of the team is very high, and this is very exciting. And as you say, you have to work hard every game, every training in order to earn your spot. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's going to drive us to the places. It's going to drive us towards the places we want to be. And we want to be in the playoffs. We want to win the cup, and we want to win all the games we play. So it's just easy as that. The competition brings the best of us, and the team is stronger, and the trust is there. The team and the squad is what I would say it's better, and the quality overall it's higher this year.
Now I'm always amazed at your endurance, your energy level. I mean, box to box, this to me is physically clearly maybe the most demanding position in the world game, and so vital now to bring width to an attack. You got into the final third a lot last year. You hit some good delivery. You play a tremendous ball with your left foot. What is the plan to get more goals from Adam Lundqvist and more assists? Because I could see you scoring goals this year and getting 3-4 goals this year and adding, coming inside a little bit. What is the plan? And has there been more talk of that? You know, hey, Adam Lundqvist, we need more goals and assists.
Yeah, of course. And it's been a big personal goal for me as well. I felt like I had probably like five or I would have said I could have easily had five assists last year if I had a little better delivery in the end and also made some better decisions. And that's something I want to keep improving on. And But the plan is there. Like, I'm allowed to go forward a lot, and I think that that's where I really can change the game. And I want to contribute with points and with all the chances I get, and hopefully it's going to get this year. I'm looking to be more effective with my decision making and my deliveries. So, like you say, that's my goal as well. I want to score at least a couple of goals and get a couple of assists, because that's what I feel is what I can bring to the team. And as you said, also getting up and down the line is that's really what I do. And that's what I want to, like, give the team and in order to win games. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm super excited, and I'm in good shape, and just, you know, I really want to take this team to the next level, and me personally as well.
Adam Lundqvist joining us, Houston Dynamo left back. You know, the endurance part of the game, I mean, is that just something that somewhat comes naturally? Look, I know you're an incredible worker, a tireless worker, but, you know, there are some players that certainly have a lot more endurance than others. You know, sometimes I was shaking my head the amount of games and minutes you played last year. Just take us into that endurance side of things, and how much of that is mental, how much is physical?
I mean, it, like you say, it's both. I think I've always been quite good at running, and I never saw that. Like, I never thought it was hard. Like, running in preseason, I always thought it was kind of funny to push myself to the limit. So kind of having that mental edge too, that I'm not afraid to get tired. I'm not afraid to really, really push myself to the limit. And, you know, also physically, I know I've always been kind of, I consider myself pretty quick, and just being also, I mean, I've been working on it for my entire career. I knew that being an outside back, being able to go back and forward all the time, you need to have a good endurance. And I've been working a lot over all the off seasons, during the seasons, and always try to push myself every training. So it's something I really, you know, I want to be good at it. I want to keep better at it. But I think it's also like, I think it's more mental, really, to just be able to push yourself to your absolute max. And that's what I feel I have an advantage.
Now, different times last year, you had different people in front of you, and you know, it's, you got to kind of work in tandem, controlling that left side of the field. You got help out of your midfield. Sometimes you'd have Ariel Lassiter there. Sometimes you'd have Darwin Quintero, who would drift inside. That's got to be a little bit challenging, you know, making sure you're on the same page with people that are playing in the same area of the field as you are.
Yeah, of course. But like you say, we spend a lot of time together on the practice field, and we get to learn each other over the year. But like you say, it's different player comes with different skill sets. So just have to adapt to each other. And I think just time, the more time we spend together on the field, it's going to get easier and easier. And I think we have a lot of strong players up front, and they all have their skill set. So just combining the two of us, we got to make sure that we can get the best out of both. So I feel like we can do a better job than last year, and in order to do with the points and to provide points and goals and assists. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it's a very group of, like, the players you mentioned are very talented players, and I love playing with them. So I feel like the potential is there, and we can really be a strong left side and really create a lot of problems for the opposition.
Other good thing is tomorrow you got another preseason game, which you should be very happy about, because I would imagine getting to games now and playing live competition. You got the Austin Bowl tomorrow, and then Saturday you get your first MLS competition with Austin FC. I would imagine when the game started coming, it's kind of broken things up nicely.
Yeah. Like you say, you can practice how much you want, but it's really when you play an actual game against actual opponents, it's where you really can measure yourself. And I felt like we've done a really great job so far this preseason. We just got to step it up another level. Like you said, there's the tougher opposing teams coming up, like MLS teams, and like this weekend with Austin. So we're looking forward to it. We want to continue building, but still it's just preseason. So we want to make sure that we don't do anything stupid, and we keep ourselves in good shape, and then be ready for when it actually matters, when the premiere comes to the BBVA Stadium.
Adam Lundqvist joining us. We're going to wrap this up here in a moment, but two quick questions for you. Number one, you played in the Olympics and represented your country, Sweden. And with the recent elimination of the U.S. in Olympic qualifying, it's certainly a hot button point issue here in the United States. What did it mean to you to represent your country and play over in an Olympics? And, you know, was part of it in the back of your mind that, hey, I'm on a big platform here, I'm on a big stage, and there's the potential for, you know, clubs in Europe to see me playing here?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think also, but as you mentioned first, really like just the honor of representing your country was really what drove me and really what sticks with me like now when I looking back at it. Like, of course, it's a big platform for your club, like to see the clubs in Europe or whatever, and also all over the world because it's such a big platform. But mainly, I think, is the sense or the feeling of representing. You're one of the chosen few that get to represent your flag in such a big competition. And I'm like, for the rest of my life, it's going to feel really honored, like really honored that I was able to be there and able to represent my flag and my country. And like you said, I think that was the main thing, what I take out of it. And also the experience of being around this big, like you say, the Olympics is so huge. There's so many athletes at one place. And it was such an amazing thing to be a part of. But yeah, that's mainly what I remember it and will always remember it by.
Adam, do you still have strong desires to try to get back to the Swedish national team and play at the international level, represent your country? I mean, is that still something you think about?
Of course, like every player do that. Like that's the biggest honor you can do as a player is to represent your country. And like I said, I'm always, I mean, of course, I'm thinking about it, but the way to get there is to perform at your club level. And that's what I'm focusing on day in and day out. So whatever happens, happens. But I'm always looking to improve myself and being the best version of myself. So if that's good enough to be playing for my national team, I'll be the happiest guy in the world. But like I say, the competition is very tough, but that's always something you dream of as a player, is to represent your country.
All right, last one. And I got to drop this one in there because I know there's some international soccer fans that listen to the show. Do you like the fact that Zlatan Ibrahimovic has come back to the Swedish national team?
Yes, of course. I'm a big fan of his. I've always been, ever since I was little, you know, he has been constant in the national team. And I think also, like with the performances he's made this season, he definitely deserved the spot. You cannot always survive on old merits, but I think this year he really proved to everyone that even though he's in his older age, he seems to age like a fine wine. So I think he still has the quality left in him. And I mean, he's proving his worth playing these two games. He's been really good and very important. So yeah, I'm a very strong believer in that he should be in the team for the next coming games and also hopefully for the Euros.
Well, Adam, you're a great man today because what unbeknownst to a lot of the listeners, you've had a lot of things after practice that you've had to do. So I really appreciate you taking the time out to address our listeners, to come on, talk soccer with me. I always enjoy it with you. And good luck tomorrow. We're looking forward to watching you play in that preseason game against the Austin Bowl. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. It's always good with Adam Lundqvist, Dynamo left back there joining us. We'll take a break here. Quick thing before we go to break, just remind you about Advantage BMW Midtown. Get that Houston advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get in a sedan, an X5. Go down there. Ask for Justin. Ask for Steven. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
Final segment of the show tonight here is brought to you by my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased and bought from Advantage BMW Midtown. I absolutely love the drive of the vehicle. I've mentioned on this show many times, I've taken the car on a 23-hour drive. X5, threw my dog in the back. Absolutely fantastic as we traveled around the country. Nothing like a great road trip, by the way. And there's nothing like a great road trip in an Advantage BMW Midtown vehicle. Get the 3.5, a 7 Series, get in the X5 if you want. Advantage BMW Midtown. You get a hometown advantage there. Shop Advantage BMW Midtown. And they are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Go down there, say hello to Steven. Say hello to Justin as well. Final segment of the night. We're going to talk some Long Island soccer and a lot of great history out there, plus the Long Island Rough Riders. Jim Kilmeade, in January 2004 and November 2006, was the vice president and general manager of the Long Island Rough Riders. Very, very embedded for so many years in the great soccer culture that is Long Island. Right now, he's a managing partner at BQE Soccer Partners. A lot to talk with about Jim from this great soccer part of the country. Here's my interview with Jim Kilmeade. Well, Jim, thanks very much for coming on the program. And the first thing I would just say is I want you to take us into where you grew up on Long Island and just the unbelievable strength of Long Island soccer, whether it's youth, college, the professional game through history. Take us through that and growing up there and the influences.
It's amazing, Glenn. Thank you. And it's great to be on your show. I was really fortunate, along with about 3,000 other kids, that ended up joining a club called the Massapequa Soccer Club on the South Shore of Long Island in Nassau County. It's a club that was dominated by football and baseball, like most places in the country in the early 70s. But we had something different. The coach of the Cosmos, Gordon Bradley, when he got the job at the Cosmos, got a house in Massapequa. A guy from Northern Ireland named Pat McComiskey was a janitor and a soccer coach at a CYO called Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Massapequa Park. Those two guys were recruiting soccer players. They couldn't find any. They got together and formed the Massapequa Soccer Club. They went from 60 kids, primarily boys, in the early 70s to 4,000 kids over the next 6 or 7 years, directly along the rise of the New York Cosmos, who played at Hofstra University, which is where I ended up going to college. But it was 20 minutes from our club in our home. And we got a chance to almost have a small European experience of having a local pro club that was involved in the community, that lived with us in the community, and that actually ran and influenced our club's culture in the early days. So looking back, it's you can't replicate it. Now people are paying millions and thousands to replicate what we kind of had. And it was really amazing. We owe a lot to Gordon Bradley and Pat McComiskey and all the other great people. So Massapequa, once again, was a great we had the bad uniforms. We had the maroon and gold made out of burlap, but we won it for 20 years.
Jim Kilmeade joining us here, BQE Soccer Partners. He's a partner there. He's a national director of soccer at A-Turf as well. All right, so you look in your bio, and there's a million things we could go to here, but I'm going to go right to the Long Island Rough Riders, USISL, team that won the national championship that year. It's a team that was based on and comprised of a lot of these Long Island guys, and I'm sure a few of them came out of the Massapequa Soccer Club. It was topped off with guys like Tony Miola, Chris Armas, Gio Savarese, who a lot of my listeners obviously know all these people. You were heavily involved with that team as a general manager. You won awards. Tell me a little bit about just that time period in the USISL, because that was a big moment for Long Island.
Big moment for Long Island, and as you know, Glenn, a big moment for the country. It was the reemergence, the renaissance of the pro game again, starting out of just the ethnic leagues, after the NSL collapsed, that's all we had, and the MISL collapsed. It was huge, and so what I did is I took a formula for a guy that I worked for my first year out of college named Todd Lewicki, who went on, he's going to be a U.S. Hall of Famer in every sport. He started the Sounders, the Seattle Seahawks, the Wild. He was the GM, the youngest GM in the country of the New York Arrows, a team I tried out for, but ended up in the front office and on the reserve team, blessing in disguise. Todd was kind of a mentor. He had a great community program. And so when I had the opportunity, I was approached by Peter Collins, the U.S. Soccer Hall of Famer and president of the Long Island Junior Soccer League. Amazing person, great friend of our family, who approached me and said there's a couple of lawyers that are looking to put a pro team in the New York metropolitan area. So I brought your name up. And I said, I thank Peter. I took a meeting. And so I ended up going with these guys, and I basically was handed the keys to a franchise with no name. Didn't know anything about the league, the USL league that you and I played in that we can talk about later. This was an unrelated league. It was actually called the USISL, which is the U.S. Interregional Soccer League, based out of Texas, and Francisco Marcos' brainchild, who's another Hall of Famer. So we came to a diner meeting, which you have a lot of diners on Long Island, and it started from there. And literally from concept to operation in June of 1993, We launched the franchise to play its first game on April 5th at home against the Detroit Wheels, another footnote in soccer that went away after that year, to a sold-out Mitchell Park in Uniondale, New York, on a brutal, freezing cold spring night. And we ended up losing, which kills me. Now, then we did go on to a 10-game win streak. But really, it was we only had a couple of full-time employees, myself being it. And we ran for office. We were out every single night. And with the first thing I knew we had to do, and the good news about being in Long Island, in the New York metro area, you have enough talent there. You don't need to go anyplace else. So my goal was to bring everyone back that was either at college or across the country, and bring them all back to Long Island and to put this team and to build it around it. So the Chris Armas is out of Brentwood, New York, Brentwood Soccer Club, St. Anthony's High School, Adelphi University in Garden City. We got Chris out of college. Giovanni Savrisi, LIU, out of Brooklyn, even though he's from Venezuela. He came in to us. And we put a team together of all Long Island guys, especially the first year. Tony came in 95. And I think he kind of put us over the top and gave us national visibility. So from concept to operation, we went on and became Organization of the Year. I found a coach that I had great respect for from the New York Order Bavarian Soccer Club, Alfonso Mondello, and hired him as my first hire. Jimmy McGeo, who used to be the coach of the United. Remember Jimmy?
Yep.
And he had a Spanish guy and a Northern Ireland guy, both Long Island guys. They had different philosophies. They came together and put together what we, and helped with a culture that really became a powerhouse. And as I said, it was a tough team to coach. You had a lot of strong personalities, but the team did really well on the field. But what the team did off the field, and I don't know if you can get players to do this anymore, nobody made a lot of money on this team. I think the highest paid player was making $1,500 a month. And we trained 6-7 days a week. It was tough. Alfonso Mondello took this as if he was coaching Real Madrid. His goal was to be the coach of Real Madrid. Jimmy McGeo already had a great career. He came in to add the experience. And every player, with the first 8 players we signed, we did over 120 appearances before our first game from June to April. They were calculated, and they were big and they were small, and they were in corporate America. They were primarily with the youth. And we really addressed this before you could send out an email or a text or anything else. You had to go out and meet people. So we ran for office the old-fashioned way. We shook hands and kissed babies. We were authentic. We all had bad Long Island accents, so we were accepted on the island. And then with the team, had a great run. And that was the beginning of really an interesting history.
Remarkable story. Now, I want to take you back to, obviously you played in the USL, so did I. You were on New York. I was here in Houston. I moved to Houston after being on the Pennsylvania Stoners, one of the greatest names in the history of soccer. But anyway, for a lot of reasons. But, you just talked about something that I'm wondering if we're losing a little bit in MLS, and that is the personal connection with the fan and the players. And you know how many clinics you did playing for New York. I know how many I did for Houston. Oh, yeah. It far surpassed the amount of games we played. It was probably triple or quadruple the amount. So, have we lost a little bit of that in Major League Soccer, you think?
I do. I'm in awe of Major League Soccer's overall accomplishments. I think they really paid a price for not having that in the early days of MLS, especially in our area where they thought that they were. I think any franchise, and you've been around, Glenn, there are some people in soccer and in other sports, but apparently in soccer, especially in the earlier days, they just thought people had been waiting for a professional soccer team to show up at their doorstep and people be running with their credit cards to the stadium. And, as you know, it's not the case. Right. People are busy. They've always been busy, and we're not the mainstream sport. So I feel that I don't think that they've lost it. They connect in a different way. But I'm telling you right now, I think that everything that's old becomes new again. So I think that you're going to see more of that. Because some of the franchises, the Seattles and those companies and those groups in Atlanta, they didn't just do all this with social media. I think the most successful clubs have connected. And some have just been in these markets like Portland that really actually have that dynamic that they are living for your franchise. Most of us don't have that in New York. I know you have to outwork everybody. And if we start something again soon, we're going to have a modern formula that part of that will be based on personal contact and involvement, not just almost an arrogance of that we're here and now we're going to define the market. That's the market doesn't need you. You need them.
No question. Jim Kilmeade joining us here on Soccer Matters. And he is the managing partner of BQE Soccer Partners, national director of soccer at A-Turf. Okay, so you did the perfect segue there as a guy who knows TV. And radio. Take us into the potential of USL coming back to Long Island and your involvement in it, Jim.
Yes. left the Rough Rider franchise in his last years as a professional franchise in the USL in 2006. And actually, that's when we brought Jimmy Rooney back and Giovanni back, and they all retired as Rough Riders back at the day. Rough Riders now more of a training organization, have a PDL franchise, which I think is League One now. And there's really quite a void out here. The Cosmos came in, made a little bit of a splash, and then disappeared. They didn't have a long-term plan. So right now we're engaged, and we've been engaged for quite a few years. My partner Kevin Reardon and I, BQE. Initially, it was to bring a Major League Soccer franchise, and we had a stadium solution at Belmont Park, which now is going to become the New York Islanders franchise. We met with Don Garber. We met with everybody, and they didn't believe this was a viable site. And then New York City FC came in, which with phenomenal resources. We even engaged them, even though it wouldn't have been our franchise. And they didn't think it was the right place. Well, look where they are right now, in a stadium position, which is nowhere. Yeah. And the Islanders were smart enough to get that stadium. But we think that's great for Long Island because it's going to be a sporting venue, but that would have been the place for a great MLS franchise. So now MLS being taken, that's not going to happen in the New York Metro Long Island area. We've gone to a USL-type model. And the good news is we're probably a couple of months away from announcing formally to be part of a soccer-specific stadium build and establish a USL franchise. And NISA has spoken to us, too. They're great people. And we'll defer to our decision as to who we'll be along with at the time, when the time comes. But this is going to be a huge groundbreaking commercial development site for Long Island that we're now have carved out probably a 7,500-seat covered stadium, horseshoe, expandable to 10. On a main road off mass transportation next to an airport. It will be unprecedented, and it will change the dynamics of Long Island. Part of what we're going to do with that franchise, our vision, Glenn, is not only to have to do a great job and run a great franchise and to have it represent the values of the community, but to establish a youth developmental program, non-pay-for-play, just outside of the USDA structure, really looking to develop players to become professional players to sell into Europe. We believe Christian Pulisic's dad is from Long Island. Mark Pulisic was a great player. Mm-hmm. We know the talent is here. The next Chris Armas, the next Danny Mullers, the next Jimmy Rooney. We know, and we know if we got those guys at 16 years old into, you know, Celtic or Rangers or a team in Norway, and we'd be setting up a small network in Europe as a stepping stone to the big clubs. And our goal would be to have, and probably the value proposition financially will be that we think because of the ethnic diversity of Nassau, Suffolk County, Brooklyn, and Queens, we'll be able to put that together and have a great franchise that will actually feed not only the USL team, but will be a long-term contributor to put players into Europe.
You know, sitting here listening to you, Jim, you quickly pull yourself back into visionaries and people that grow the game. Now, you know, when you and I were playing in the USL, back in 1984, it was a pretty dark time in a lot of ways. It was a very positive time in a lot of ways, too, going through that experience. But when you look at the USL and how many markets have USL teams and job openings, opportunity for players, a sense of community, amen, all these things, it's pretty remarkable because at the time we were playing the sport, that did not exist.
No, it didn't exist, and I always said, even more than we're always talking about players, 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 and that's what the game's all about. But just think about the opportunity the USL gave me with Francisco Marcos's vision. First as a player, and actually, just so you know, Glenn, I had to sell myself as not only a player but also a guy that ran all the ticket sales. So when I went to a game at Hofstra, not only was I hoping to play, but I sold every ticket to everybody in that stand. And I had no humility. I was very comfortable with that. That's what you had to do to make a living.
Sure.
And I made more money doing that, and I got a presence in the community. But look at all the management that has been developed. Look at all the marketing people, the ticket sales people, the PR people. It's the USL is literally – there would be no MLS without the USL. And back in the day when I was head of over North America back in the late 90s, Umbro had purchased the USL, if you remember. Then Nike bought it, and it was all kinds of stuff going on. Umbrella bought it and hired me to be head of the brand, which had been split after it had gone bankrupt. I had a dual job, run North America, Canada, manage the Canadian license, American license, and go into the USL, they put me into a VP of marketing slot. We don't know what to do with the USL. We're English guys. We don't understand why this is so hard. We just pack our stadiums. and could you spend time? So I was going from Tampa to New York quite a bit, once a month at least, and was to try and make this more of a commercially viable league while Francisco and the other people were trying to just get better ownership groups. These are self-fulfilling, as you know. And we were able to put the first TV package together with Fox Sports World at the time, which has now evolved to Fox Sports Channel, then to God knows what it is now. It's something different. And so we did. We had some success with that, brought a couple of hotel deals in. And the main thing at that point in time, I walked into Major League Soccer office and they were fading. Tampa was going down. It was a tough time for soccer.
Contracting teams,
and
yeah.
They had 10 markets and we had 35 states and 3 Canadian provinces. Now, were all our franchises viable? No. They were not. They were not all stable, but we were doing the professional game at sustainable levels, as you know, like you did in Houston, I did with the Nationals, in 35 states, from Des Moines, Iowa, to places no one's ever going to go. You know, we went to Tacoma, and we had all these people. So people like me got a chance to develop a skill to be employable, to be either a general manager, to be a player personnel, be an operations person, a marketing guy, a sales team. And you got to do it on the job. Because if you're in the USL, you're not a specialist. You were going to do anything and everything. I mean, I was a general manager of the Rough Riders in 1994. I put the signs out on the side of the field, and they were not fancy electronic. They were wood, and they were heavy. Yeah. And because we didn't have the money to do it. So I have a great appreciation for doing literally every job it takes to put the radio deals together like you've been doing. And like radio guys like you usually had to do everything himself because there was no money with franchise. Now in MLS, you're in a position where it's much more professional.
But, well, you know, I have a crack staff of 15 in here right now that'll bring me coffee in a moment's notice. You know that.
Yeah, no, you've kept them quiet, which is great. But the point is that you're so right. The USL did more for American soccer, professional American soccer, than any league could ever do. And MLS, I think, even knows this now. And it's just great to see now the level of professionality within USL has really gone up, not just in the valuations, which for me, I have a hard time with a lot of these valuations out there in MLS and in USL. But it's a great, because one of the things I used to say in my patented speeches years ago, the phrase soccer business is like an oxymoron. We want to make it not that way. And but right now you can't say that. Our sport has arrived. You know, it's a viable business. There's value in what we've all contributed to. And so there's always that sense of a bit of pride to have played a part in it. But we want to do it again. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows that. We're going to do it again.
You've 100% pioneered it. This is great, exciting news for Long Island. Your career at all different levels, Jim, exceptional. And you come out of that group of East Coast guys, too, that, you know, me in New Jersey and Long Island, everybody's aware of each other. Everybody's getting involved with it for the right reasons in the very beginning and continue to do great things. Thank you so much for coming on. It's a great story, and appreciate you doing some great USL talk and your career talk as well.
Yeah, we're all part of the same fraternity, Glenn. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jim.
Big thank you to Jim Kilmeade and all our guests tonight on Soccer Matters. Great job again by Aaron Raybould, producing as always. Remember to hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davisock, Facebook Soccer Matters. Podcasts of this show, you get it at ESPN975.com. Again, podcasts of the show, ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Instagram, Glenn Davisock, and give us a like over there. We would love that. All right, that'll do it for tonight. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. We will see you next Tuesday night at 7 Central, or maybe even tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the open preseason match between the Houston Dynamo and Austin Bold.
ESPN 97.5.